Welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SOLIDWORKS engineering and the web. This is episode 466 for February 3rd, 2013. SOLIDWORKS World 2014 General Sessions. Well, hi, and welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, today we're going to be going over what happened at SOLIDWORKS World last week, and really just trying to fully encapsulate what happened at the SOLIDWORKS World event. Obviously, merged with all of the tremendous breakout sessions is the general sessions that, you know, do have a lot of specific information about new products, about where the product's going. Obviously, they've got a lot of, interesting speakers that have some interesting products. So I think it was pretty on par with what you kind of expect from SOLIDWORKS World. But there were a lot of product announcements this year, and I want to make sure that we kind of cover some of the things that were announced and definitely get into a little bit more about the next version of the products coming from Dassault. And so there were some things that some of us were kind of anticipating, especially around mechanical conceptual, but also some things that maybe we weren't. And I want to make sure we cover those as well. So let's take a look at SOLIDWORKS World 2014 in review. All right, well, we'll start off with the general sessions and kind of more of a highlight reel. So there was obviously 3 days, there was three general sessions, and day one broke down with Bertrand Sico kicking off the conference, stating that there was 5,600 attendees at SOLIDWORKS World. That's a pretty big number. I know later in the conference he did end up saying that there was about another 200 that actually registered unique registrants for the entire conference, which is by far the largest attended SOLIDWORKS World ever. He also announced 2.3 million plus users worldwide. Obviously, this is commercial and EDU, and he actually said that it was the largest engineering community to date. So he also talked about a couple of other product announcements. SOLIDWORKS Inspection actually hit the floor. This is actually a product that is kind of the reinvention of Inspection Expert. You may remember Jeff Cope and a lot of his tools that were out there. This is actually, he works for SOLIDWORKS now, and this is a rebranded product with some pretty powerful tools and feature sets, and we'll talk about those a little later. There's also an announcement for SOLIDWORKS Mechanical Conceptual. We actually got a delivery date. They said they're going to be shipping or being able to order your Mechanical Conceptual subscriptions on April 2nd through the reseller channel. It's going to cost about $250 a month, which is about $3,000 a year. I'm not sure yet if that's actually broken out, if you can buy it either monthly or yearly. I think it's just yearly, but more details will come out about that shortly. They also brought up some VPs from 3D Via division of Dassault, and they talked about a product called 3D by Me and Home by Me. Both are kind of the same technologies, but just real easy drag and drop. It actually kind of looked like live buildings a little bit, maybe a simpler version. These tools are browser-based but do require plugins, so they're not true web applications. They still have to be run on specific operating systems. So far, I believe this plugin for Chrome runs on both Windows and Mac, but I'm not terribly sure yet. So as far as some of the other things, they also announced a product that I think was kind of outside the radar. I know when they first came out with the SOLIDWORKS Mechanical Conceptual name, my thought is they're kind of setting this up for maybe architectural conceptual and maybe industrial design conceptual or something. And they ended up delivering a product or announcing a product called SOLIDWORKS Industrial Conceptual. This tool is not out yet, but it does kind of involve more of a touch-based and artistic-based approach to design. It does both solids and surfaces at the same time. Not a lot of details. We got a couple of sneak peeks. They showed it running on a tablet in a video, but for the most part, we didn't really get to see too much on it. They also talked a little bit about kind of the reasoning for this product as opposed to using mechanical conceptual. Obviously, this is much more freeform. You're not really locking down, dimensions and things like that. It's much more conceptualized for ID guys. So I think this is really something that looks quite interesting. And then the last day, they did bring up a speaker. I thought, hands down, the best speaker they had the entire week was a guy named Hugh Herr. He is the MIT lab biometronics director, and talked about building really transportation devices for humans. But unlike, you know, being a bus or anything like that, you know, it really is about, you know, giving people who have disabilities not just replacements to be at par with people that don't have those disabilities, but actually giving them an advantage and making it better than it was, you know, before their disability. So it's really an interesting thing. He actually, the quote of the conference was that he was in the transportation business. And it was actually a very cool and moving thing. And you see him walking around on stage and you hear his stories. And then all of a sudden he lifts up the legs of both of his pants and he's a double amputee, has these, you know, these bio legs that are on, and they actually give a little spring to the step. He could do jumping and all kinds of cool stuff. But it actually looked like it looked like a foot. It was designed and built like a foot. It had a battery pack in the back, and it was kind of doing measurements and then, you know, reacting to the way that his body moved. And it was just a very interesting concept. But, I mean, he moved so naturally. Nobody expected it. And it was pretty cool. Day two kicked off with the kind of the launch video of SolidWorks World. Had this kind of spider-like mechanism kind of device that people were driving. And that spider mechanism was actually something that came out of a desire to make a spider-like car, I guess. And it was for Burning Man. And this group actually formed a company called Eat Art. And they make all kinds of interesting things. They showed this spider mobile, but they also showed this the alpha leg, which was basically like it was like a device that kind of hooks up to a human, but, you know, based on their movements, they could actually move very big devices that were driven by those kind of mimicking movements in this other device. So it was kind of a cool little thing. They had a little portion of it up on stage and they were showing it off. So I thought that was actually pretty neat. We talk a little bit about their company, and then they brought up kind of the usual suspects for day two, which is the beta contest. They talked about the winners from beta contest. And if you do want any of the details of this, I'm not going to bore you with it because you probably don't know the people. But for the most part, the contest winners for most of these categories are in the live blog for day two at solidworksherd.com/live-coverage. So on top of announcing the beta contest winners, they also talked a little bit about the user group awards. They mentioned Phil Sluder and hosting his 200th meeting for the San Diego SolidWorks user group. So it was kind of interesting. It's just showing how mature this community is becoming. And then they also then brought up someone that they have mentioned before, but we've never seen on the main stage, which is Jean Paolo Bassai, who's the VP of R&D for Dassault. And he actually had the privilege to talk to Mark Forge 3D. This actually got quite a bit of headlines. I actually saw a lot of stuff on Engadget about this product, but it's a 3D printer. And before you roll your eyes and check out, the interesting thing about this printer is that it actually prints carbon fiber. And it doesn't just print carbon fiber in whole, because obviously it would be a lot more expensive. It actually does dual material. So it does a nylon, and then it does the carbon fiber for more of a reinforcement. So in their software, it actually will figure out where to put it by default. Usually it just puts it kind of the outer edges and limits to give it a little rigidity. But they talked about the stuff being as rigid as aluminum. And, you know, that's kind of pretty cool, because you could build some very functional parts with a lot of rigidity and be able to get much more realistic, performance from parts that you print. You also have full overrides to, you know, place the carbon wherever you see fit. But obviously this keeps the part cost down. And it was just a very interesting thing. You can check out more on Mark Forge 3D. And I think they call it the Mark 1 is the device that's out right now. They also showed a little video of Bertrand Sico, CEO of SolidWorks, doing a little bobsledding. And It was very cool. They showed him in Utah. I think he was at Salt Lake, you know, doing a run with a driver and everything. And he gets out and they do some, you know, kind of interviews. And then they bring up the company that builds bobsleds for the U.S. Olympic team. Now, the name of the company is called Bodine. And I think it's actually kind of off of one of the people's names. But they had two people on stage. They had Jeff Bodine and also Bob Serino. And the two of them started this company. Now, the interesting thing was that Jeff, or I believe it was Jeff. Yeah, Jeff is a 1986 Daytona 500 winner. So he had a lot of, you know, interesting things for Speed. He talks about a story where he was on the hill of a bobsled, had the opportunity to drive one and bent up a sled, and told the driver, the owner of the sled, that he would replace it, and it kind of got this whole thing going. So he actually got his, you know, he's too busy racing at the time, so he ended up getting one of his pit engineers to start it, and that was Jeff. And it was really an interesting story, but at the time that he got involved in this company, the U.S. bobsled team was not doing good. They hadn't placed very well. And so they really started looking at reinventing the wheel. And they talk a little bit about their approach. They talk a lot of the engineering behind it and all the factors that have to go into it. And they had some interesting kind of feedback from the U.S. Olympic team and just how the bobsled team has been under the designs that they've been driving from Bodine. And it's pretty interesting. They're kind of almost a hard-to-touch team. Obviously, there's a lot of teams out there, but they talked about how much a lot of the competition, like German teams, you know, spying on different companies and trying to figure out what they're ordering and all kinds of stuff. It was just a very interesting story, but I thought it was a cool way to talk a little bit about it. You know, it was actually kind of funny because, you know, Bertrand, you know, has this video of him going down on a bobsled. And he says to the whole crowd, he says, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to do this, you know, I definitely recommend you just do it. And I don't think there's too many of us that are going to have the opportunity to go down an Olympic trial course in a bobsled. But the perks that you get when you're CEO. And they wrapped up day two with the announcement of the special event at the Embarcadero. It was basically right behind the convention center. They rented out this big field. And they had a trapeze out there, and they had a DJ, and they had a live band, and they had some, you know, other little interesting kind of side attractions, some graffiti artists and things like that. But really, it was just about, you know, they had tons of food and alcohol, and just it was nice. It was a little bit chilly. They had fireworks at the end. It was pretty cool. It was just a big block party, basically. Now, day three is notoriously known as the day of the reveal, and I'll rattle off some of the stuff that they mentioned, but really they started out first talking about the industrial conceptual a little bit more. They showed a couple more screenshots, a couple more videos. It was one thing to note is that we did not get any live demonstrations really of any of the products. It was kind of unfortunate. It worries me a little bit to not see live demos. I get it. I've been doing demos a long time. I understand that there's risks involved and they haven't shipped it and they're worried about maybe a crashing in front of 5,600 people plus media and, you know, all the negative attention it could get. But, you know, many of us have been hearing about this next product since 2010. And to not see it live on stage and seeing lots of videos that are similar than, you know, videos that we had seen before, I was really, really hoping to see it. And I'll talk a little bit about my experiences because I did end up going to the Partner Pavilion and actually watching a couple of live demos and attending a couple of breakout sessions with it. But, you know, they really did not show this stuff on stage. They did mention, though, that if you're really interested in getting a handle on the industrial conceptual product, you can email swlighthouse, so LIGHTHOUSE at 3DS.com, to get into their Lighthouse program, which is essentially like a closed alpha or beta. And so it's probably worthwhile to check out. They also started on day three with Model Mania, again, another common staple. Believe it or not, this is the 15th year they've done Model Mania, so that's pretty significant. And they announced all the awards for that. And then they also brought up certifications team, and that's Mike Puckett and team, and they talked a little bit about a couple of new certificates. Now, what I find interesting is these certificates are Certified SolidWorks Specialist Mechanical Conceptual, Certified SolidWorks Associate Mechanical Conceptual, and Certified SolidWorks Specialist 3D Experience SolidWorks Mechanical Conceptual. So I don't really know what all that stuff is. Obviously, we know what the certifications will be, but I don't really know what the 3D Experience SolidWorks Mechanical Conceptual. I don't know if that's just the kind of the whole community side of it, but They do have that. And it was also interesting that they have over 100,000 user certifications out there right now. So definitely very prominent in the kind of the user community. They also then brought up Marie Planchard from Education, and they talked with Mount SAC, or Mount San Antonio Community College, about them being a certified SOLIDWORKS associate provider, which means that they actually incorporate the SOLIDWORKS associate as part of their midterm. In one case, they actually talked about that being the final exam. And so they're really trying to get involved utilizing some of the certifications to, you know, be part of the curriculum at these universities. And so they share their you know, kind of, you know, trials through that and how they're actually incorporating it. And then they move to the top 10 list. So Bruce Holloway always comes up and does his top 10 list. Usually he does kind of a recap of the previous year. So the previous year was the top 10 delivered enhancements. And so he showed, you know, default to concentric, that's in 2014, default to parallel mate when coincident fails, lock option for concentric mates, slot mate, center of mass, edge bleed through, addressing that issue with video cards, don't delete child features, dangle them instead, and e-drawings on Android devices. So all those things really came in this previous release. And then he brought in the top 10 requests for this year. And it was interesting to hear these numbers, because I don't believe I remember hearing these numbers in the past, but he had mentioned that there was over 6,700 enhancement requests that were submitted. So that's a pretty big chunk of numbers, and they obviously purge through that and find the common ones. But the top 10 list started like this. So number 10 was make first selection of a mate transparent so I can select through it. The second one, or 9, was new purge command, which basically would allow you to purge the file size to get rid of a lot of the bloated parts of the file. Number 8 was whole callout should know how many instances of the on the same face. Number 7 was fillets and chamfers should be managed in the same feature. 6 was redline and flip angular dimensions after placement. Number 5 was unlimited undo and redo. Number 4, escape should stop current calculation and return the interface back to the user. Number 3 was make the first click of the midpoint and extend from there. So if you're adding a midpoint on a line. And the number 2 was the ability to rename part assembly from the feature tree. So you'd just be able to go into the feature tree and rename it, and the file would actually rename. And number 1 was evenly space on linear patterns. Now, this one's kind of funny to me because, yeah, we don't have that as a checkbox, but if you use curve-driven pattern and select a straight edge, you can use that evenly spaced function. So that's been the workaround for many, many years now. So that now set everything up for them to talk about 2015. And pretty much since about 2006 or 2007 now, they've been using product marketing group. They've been using a skit to kind of talk about these new features. And when I was watching it, I didn't really feel like there was a ton of it. And then when I went back and wrote a blog post up about all the stuff that they revealed in 2015, it was a fairly extensive list. I'll read you through this blog post that I wrote, mainly just the bullet points that they put in here. If you want to read about it, you can go to solidworksherd.com/blog, and the title of the blog post is just called SOLIDWORKS World 2014, SOLIDWORKS 2015 Reveal. Now, the skit this year was called CADman. It was built off of kind of a parody of Batman. They had a lot of the kind of the corny lines and funny, you know, fight scenes and stuff like that from like the Batman cartoons and Batman show. And here's the list. And some of it, I've got a lot of stuff here to kind of remind people. But so it starts out like this. Split command now cuts surfaces for SOLIDWORKS. Define asymmetric fillets. You set face bias, so you'll have a face bias on fillets. Switch pattern from feature to a body pattern without deleting and redefining. They have a render region tool, which is really nice. You can just draw a box over the screen and render within that area. Midpoint line tool, draw a line from the midpoint, and it auto-relates, so when you click and drag, it just kind of extends about the middle section. Convert spline to style spline without replace or delete. Segment lines with auto split. Collinear relationships and equal length. So that's kind of cool. You could just select a line and split it. An auto split basically. The rectangle tool now has orthogonal construction lines with new options. Weldment cut list actually uses the weldment details for the folder description. SOLIDWORKS costing is now compatible with SOLIDWORKS weldments. View results while simulation is still solving. This is something I used to always love about Flow, is that you could say calculate and then you could start watching the plots as the calculation goes through. You can now do that with simulation. Let's see, ducting feature for doing raceways for wiring and inserting, very similar to piping. They also showed a width mate now supports geometry limits. So this basically understands kind of like what physical dynamics did, where the surface to surface contact actually stops it instead of you having to type in a limit. Chain pattern allows you to align to a curve and add relationships that allow motion. So they showed a real cool one with kind of like a hose reel where it would roll a hose in and you could actually set the pattern up of the links. And then as you dragged it, it basically moved about that line. It was very cool. A few other ones they have here, profile mate. You could mate two faces that automatically aligns the surfaces coincident. And then the center of the profiles are also aligned. They said new part from drawing in the same orientation. So if you click on a view and you say open part, it'll open the part and mimic the same view that you were looking at in the drawing. Break view is now going to be in parts and assemblies and then leverageable in drawings. So you can actually do some pretty complex ones like isometric views. Angular dimensions can use many model edges to avoid creating construction geometry. Zone lines for drawings is now supported. Or was revealed. Decimal rounding options in the document options for drawings. Layer printing. So you'll actually be able to control print access to specific layers and drawings. SOLIDWORKS inspection, which we talked about. I'll go into more details in a little bit. But they actually showed the integration inside of SOLIDWORKS. SOLIDWORKS inspection actually will be a product that stands alone as well and will work with PDFs and TIFFs, so non-intelligent drawings. But they did kind of reveal what that looks like inside of SOLIDWORKS. And then they also gave a little debut of SOLIDWORKS Enterprise PDM Web 2. Now, this is kind of a refinement of a code base that's been available to the reseller channel for a while, but it really is the first time that we've had a web client that will not be dependent on ActiveX, it will not be dependent on operating systems, and it won't be dependent pretty much at all on the client. So this is going to be a server-side tool. It's a web-based tool. It'll do everything in the back end. You can browse, and there's actually mobile specific templates. So if you browse to it on an iPhone or, you know, an Android phone, a smaller screen device, it gives you a nice kind of linear scroll interface. And then you can also load it up, you know, full screen and be able to do search and preview and a number of things. For those of you that use EPDM and use the web client now, you know that there's a limitation if you try to do a transition. And in that transition, you have a set variable action. It usually just pops a message saying this is a limitation. That is something that has no problem to do because, again, everything that you do through this Web 2 interface is going to be server-side. So it really allows you to do everything that as if you were on the server doing it directly. So it appears that this is actually going to be something that's still going to be available only through the reseller channel now in the 2014 build. But it really appears that this is going to be part of Enterprise PDM in the 2015 release. So in looking at the time, I can see that, you know, there was so much that happened in those three general sessions. So I'm figuring that what we're going to do is we'll just break out another show and we will talk specifically on the product announcements. And that should be probably about the same length, but another 20-minute show. And we'll talk about mechanical and conceptual, industrial conceptual, inspection expert, advanced plastics, some new things coming in e-drawings, some other tools that they mentioned kind of under the radar that not a lot of people got, you know, I don't think they caught at the show. And so I'll talk about those as well. So I'll talk to you next week. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd. Don't forget to follow The Herd on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.ddicad.com. Music was provided by 21 Against by the means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.